The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
All right, we've been talking about spiritual warfare. How many realize that we are in a battle? I sure hope so. This is not fun and games. Being a Christian is not just something you do in your spare time. Being a believer is full-time warfare. And when we recognize and understand who we are and what we are supposed to be doing as believers, we'll begin to take some territory back that the enemy has stolen from us. I believe that's extremely important. We have given up way too much to the enemy. We talked about the origin of our enemy. We talked about the enemy being well organized. Ephesians 6:10 through 12, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we talked about the fact that this enemy is a well organized enemy, sometimes much more organized than the Church of Jesus Christ. We have all the goods on the enemy. We have it right here in this book. L.A. Marzulli calls it the handbook of the supernatural, because that's what it is. We don't realize these are not just words on paper. These are supernatural words imparted to us by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, through godly men who listened to the Spirit of God and wrote these words down. Sometimes it's historical facts. Sometimes it's supernatural direction from God for God's people. But I can tell you this, no matter what it is I'm reading in the Word of God, there are times that I'll open the Bible and begin reading. I have a regular reading program, and I begin to read, and it's like these words just jump right out at me. They're life. It's not just words on paper. They become real, and they speak to my situation. I believe they'll speak to your situation. That's why it's so important that we recognize the power in this book. These are ancient manuscripts that God has given to His people so that we can be overcomers. Hallelujah. I can see you're excited about that. Man, I'm going to have to make some gravy for all of you. Trish said she'd help me. She'd bring the milk. Recipe, yeah. Good idea. Amen. Ephesians 4:27. Do not give place to the devil. Believers, do not give place to the devil. Do not allow him to have place in your life. Okay, and today we're going to continue talking. Believers must understand this enemy. We are looking at John, and we're trying to understand what John 10:10 says to us about our enemy. The thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. Now, we have the overall character of the enemy right there, and we have the overall character of our God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And because Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, overflowing, superfluously, more than enough, more than you need, is what Jesus said he came for. The enemy came for just the opposite. He's here to take away everything that God wants us to have. That's why it's so important that we see these characteristics of the enemy. And when we see them in operation, whether it's out there or in here or in our family, we can identify where they come from. If there's some stealing going on, which is happening in our society, in our nation, in our world, in our families, If that's happening, we need to recognize it and say, wait a minute. We have power and authority over that. The enemy cannot and should not be able to enter in and steal from my family, steal relationships, steal love, steal the compassion that Jesus Christ has given us, steal finances. He should not be able to enter in and steal from us. But we have to take a stand because this is warfare. And in warfare, you have to fight. It's a fight. It's a battle. So the thief, the kleptos, will steal, klepto. We get our English word from the Greek word, kleptomaniac. Someone who compulsively steals, can't help themselves because the enemy is behind it. What we understand is that the enemy, all these evil things that are happening, every evil, whether it's directly or indirectly caused by the enemy, it is caused by the enemy. One of the things that we find out in Revelation, if you read the book of Revelation, that for 1,000 years, Satan is going to be bound. During that period of time, there is nothing but peace on the earth because Jesus Christ rules and reigns. As soon as the enemy is released, people, once again, flesh and blood people, will rebel against God, against Jesus, and try to come up and overthrow him. It seems crazy, doesn't it, to live under in paradise for 1,000 years, and then all of a sudden, they want to overthrow the ruler, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But that's what the enemy does. And that's why we're seeing so much turmoil and destruction and evil in our world, is because it's motivated by the evil one. And of course, poverty is the handiwork of the enemy. But listen to me. Here's what Proverbs says, 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Now, rich being rich is relative to our particular situation. I consider myself rich, prosperous. Now, I don't have great wealth, although if I want to go to Outback or Texas Roadhouse, I can. Amen. Most of us in here can say that, right? Well, I don't know what your favorite restaurant is. Chris Deemer's ready to leave right now and go. Yeah. But whatever it is, you know, we're fairly prosperous in this country. Everyone sitting here is pretty comfortable. I mean, we have some issues, but I believe that God wants his people to rise up and be able to support ministry. So it's important we overcome poverty in our lives. If you're just learning and growing in this stuff, I want you to know, God wants you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Let your soul prosper. Listen, I don't care if you have all the money in the world. Jesus said you can gain the whole world and lose your soul. I don't want that. I want your soul to prosper. I don't care about your finances because God will take care of that as your soul prospers. So let's let that happen in our lives, in our families. And like I said, I feel very fortunate. I am blessed. I have a great church, great group of people. I have a beautiful wife. And help me. She's there for me. Except when she goes to Texas and I have to make gravy for myself. But she's there. My children, my beautiful daughter that got up this morning and shared. It was tough for her. But she did it because the Spirit of God was stirring her. Amen. So, I'm rich. I'm rich in a lot of ways. And I'm thankful for all the things that God is doing. So it's important that we recognize where we are as believers, and we recognize that we have a good life, but we always want to strive to move forward in the kingdom of God. Seeking the kingdom of God first. Not allowing this world to encroach upon us to the point where everything that we're doing is more about the world than about the kingdom. Our life has to be organized in such a way that whatever we do is kingdom. Now, I'm not saying that you can't go to work, going to your career, your workplace, your business, whatever that's part of your calling. That's what God has placed you in. And all that, wherever you are, then that should, what should emanate from that is your faith in Jesus Christ. So that people see it and understand it and come to the realization of the power of God. All right, we're going to move on here. We're going to talk about a little more about this stuff. Believers must understand the enemy. We talked about being a thief. And when we understand this enemy, last week I mentioned Sun Tzu, who was the author of Art of War. He wrote that in 4th or 5th century. But he said, if you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the results of 100 battles. As believers in Jesus Christ, if we know our enemy, know ourselves, we will never, ever have to be concerned about the outcome or the result of the battle that we're in. Because all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's look at some of these things. We looked at stealing. And what we need to recognize is that our life or our society is filled with satanic and demonic activity. Now, I don't go around looking for demons behind every door. I know they're there. They're all around us. They're everywhere. But I don't fear them, and I'm not concerned with them. I'm concerned with the kingdom of God. But I want you to understand, you need to be careful what you allow into your life and in your family. In most bookstores these days, secular bookstores, the most popular books are about the occult. And they're, some of them are fiction. They're like werewolves and ghosts. What's the name of this new moon? What was the name of the series? The vampires? Twilight. There's one called New Moon, I guess. All those things. Think about this. These are demonically manipulated and controlled individuals that are having relationship with human beings. Is that the kind of thing we want to allow into our life? Fill our life, our children with? Be careful what we're allowing in through the television, through books, through magazines, through radio. We have to protect ourselves and our families. Men, be the leaders, the head of your household. Protect your family spiritually. Take a stand. Now, I'm not telling you that's going to be easy. When we have taken a stand, when I've had to take a stand in the past with our children, certain things they couldn't watch, they threw a fit. Our oldest daughter, we lived in a two-story house that time. When we told her no, she'd stomp up the stairs and slam the door. We could count on it. But we are the spiritual head, and I am the spiritual head of my household, and I had to do the right thing for my family. And when you look back on it, you know, Beth said, my parents lived out the faith in front of us. Thank God we did. Thank God we didn't compromise. And we're not perfect. I'm not trying to tell you that. We've made plenty of mistakes. But I'm just trying to warn you. These things are real, and they're destroying, they're stealing, they're allowing theft to come into the families of God's people. We're going to talk about killing. Because that's one of the things the enemy wants to do. He wants to kill. Though is the Greek word slaughter, kill, butcher. Of course, we know one of the commandments is thou shalt not kill or murder. In our society, since 1973, over 58 million children have been aborted. Now, a lot of people like to, you know, waltz around this a little bit, but I'm just going to tell you, I believe it's murder. We're taking the life of innocent children right out of the womb. It's crazy. And then we do things like what we call partial birth abortion, where the child's head is still in the birth canal and they suck their brains out. If he takes it, if it's completely out of the birth canal and it's laying on a gurney and they kill it, then that's called murder. How crazy of a society do we live in? The blood of those children are crying out to Almighty God. If Abel's blood cried out to God, can imagine what's happening here in the United States. It's crying out, those children's blood is crying out to Almighty God day and night to avenge them. Pray, people. Pray that we don't get what we deserve. Amen? According to the Center for Disease and Control Prevention, over 16,000 murders are committed every year, about 44 every day. People's lives are just being snuffed out. Sometimes those who commit those murders don't even think twice about it. Just take a life. It's estimated in the 20th century alone, a past century, that 160 million people died from wars and war-related consequences. Incredible. These are the kind of things that are motivated and manipulated. The enemy manipulates and controls people to murder. Matthew 15:19, Jesus said, "For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies." All of mankind needs a heart transplant. You know, I've known people that had heart transplants. Gives them new life. That's what really needs to happen spiritually to all of mankind. That's why we as believers in Jesus Christ, we have the answer. The answer is Jesus. The answer is change the direction of your life and serve the living God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Turn with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure, that war is in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. The Word is telling us that out of our heart, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of our heart is where these things come from. Wars, fighting. And he's talking to believers here. He's saying, listen, you guys, get your act together. You're warring, you're fighting, you're arguing, you're dealing with each other in ungodly ways because you're living too close to the world. It's the worldly attitude that is destroying us. He calls them adulterers and adulteresses, one who is unfaithful or faithless toward Almighty God. I think we can speak the same thing to all of us, the Church of Jesus Christ today. All these things are happening in the body of Christ because we're living too close to the world. I think we need to examine ourselves and look at where we are on a spiritual basis. I believe we need repentance in the body of Christ. And, you know, I'm talking to the choir here. I know. But overall, the body of Christ needs to step up and begin to realize the lifestyle that they're living is not the lifestyle that Jesus Christ has called them to. It's too close to the world's lifestyle. It's part of the world. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder.' And whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." He's telling us it's not just murder that causes you to be in danger. It's a condition of your heart that will lead to murder. How many have ever thrown a pebble in a pool of water? I'm sure we all have at one time or another. And how it ripples out. One ripple follows another. I think that's how sin is in our life. If we're not careful, that one sin leads to another sin, to more sin, to deeper sin. It just keeps rippling out in our life. That's why Jesus said that it's a condition of your heart. If you're allowing anger to overtake you, in your heart is murder. We have to come to grips with that. I have to come to grips with that. I have to deal with the anger and the frustration that I allow in my heart. And know that God wants to deliver all of us and cause us to walk in faith and patience before Him. Killing. The third thing is to destroy. That's what the enemy has come for, to destroy. Apollyme is a Greek word. Ruin, cause destruction. Wars all over the world causing destruction. But men feel full with things sometimes that it would be better that they left alone. According to Tom Horn, who's a Christian researcher and author, and he's actually been to this facility I'm going to talk about, the European Organization for Nuclear Research has a project called CERN. This facility is located between France and Switzerland. It's underground, and it covers a 17-mile area, a circular. It's a circle. The purpose of this facility, according to CERN officials, is to find the God particle. What they're trying to find is the creation of the universe. How did it come about? And in doing so, they're fooling with things that they have no idea what's going to happen. They run these molecules around in this hadron collider, is what they call it, faster and faster and faster and faster, and then finally they collide them together. They shut it down for a while, and now they've done some work on it, and they've brought it back up. They're in the process now of trying to do what they say is find the God particle, and they believe they're going to open black holes, gates, portals. The director general of CERN, Rolf Heuer, said this in an interview with the BBC. He said, "We are going to open a portal or open an area in another dimension." They believe there's many dimensions. I believe there's, you know, at least two dimensions, the one we live in and the one that Almighty God is in, the spiritual dimension around us. But anyhow, he said, "We are going to open this dimension and something happened. may come out. Or we may send something in. I don't know about you, but that raises the hair on the back of my neck. It is creepy, especially when you begin to realize some things that are associated with CERN. Outside of the CERN's facility is a statue of the Hindu goddess Shiva. The Hindu goddess Shiva is considered the goddess of destruction. The facility, where this facility is located, is in an area where the temple of Apollo was located. I don't think you can make this stuff up. It just all fits together. It's where the temple of Apollo was located. In the book of Revelation, don't know whether this connects or not, but it's possible. In the book of Revelation, it says in the end times, there's going to be a force, a demonic force, released from the bottomless pit. In Greek, its name is Apollyon, the destroyer. I don't know what's going on with CERN, but whatever they're doing, whatever happens, I just pray that our Almighty God will intervene in these situations. Because it's very possible that the release of Apollyon is actually created by human beings. This is happening right now in our world. The destroyer. Now, whether Apollyon the destroyer is released, or we just recognize that Satan is the destroyer and he's trying to completely and totally destroy all things that are God and of God, that's the most important thing, I believe, that we know that these things are happening. Stephen Hawking, if you know anything about him, he's a great scientist. Of course, he's an atheist, a Darwinist. But he actually has warned them that they may destroy the universe. I don't think that's going to happen. But he's concerned. We have all kinds of destruction around us. Destroyers are everywhere. Think about Islam and the destruction that they're creating all over our world. What they're doing to Christians. What they're doing to societies. In 2002, a Southern Baptist pastor gave a message at the Southern Baptist Conference in Louisiana. No, I'm sorry, in St. Louis. His name was Jerry Vines. He described Muhammad the way that Muhammad should be described, as a demon-possessed pedophilia. And that Islam teaches the destruction of non-Muslims. Well, after he said that, the media went crazy. They accused him of all kinds of things. So-called moderate Muslims accused him of all kinds of things, mostly of being bigoted and hateful because he said this. However, two former Muslims came to his defense, because they had written a book called Unveiling Islam. These two brothers, Imri and Ergun Kaner, I probably butchered their names, but they were former Muslims who came to Jesus Christ. In their book, they document that the Quran very clearly says that all infidels, anyone who is not a believer in Muhammad, all infidels should either be killed or enslaved. Very clearly. And in another book, Hadatha, that the Muslims believe is very holy, it makes it very clear that Muhammad chose a 6-year-old girl to marry, and he consummated the marriage when she was 9 years old. Was he telling the truth about him? Absolutely. The world does not want to hear that the Muslim faith is not a faith of peace and love and compassion like Christianity. We are totally opposite of one another's. Theirs is death, hate, and destruction. Theirs comes and emanates from the enemy. Ours emanates from the Father of lights, who pours out love and compassion on people. That's why it's important that we walk in love, that we walk in the power of Almighty God. Now listen, I'm telling you these things. I don't want anybody to fear anything. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You do not have to be afraid. You have the goods on the enemy. You have the word of God. Stand on it. Psalms 91, beginning with verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings He shall take refuge. You shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. Don't be afraid of anything at night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Have no fear, believers. The last thing I want to share with you this morning is that our enemy is a liar. Anything that emanates from the enemy is a lie. The only thing, he's not a creator. We must realize that he cannot create anything. In fact, most of what he does is destroy. But he does counterfeit what God does. So he tries to get as close as he can to the things of God without it being God. That's why spiritualists, occult, magic, witchcraft, all these things are part of the enemy's kingdom, but it's to emulate the power and the spirituality of Almighty God and the supernatural power that we have in the kingdom. These things are growing more and more in our world and in our society. I had someone speak to me recently that said that they were a channeler and that God had given them a message for me. I'm not going to tell you what that message was, but I'm going to tell you this. It was not of God. And I told them it was not of God. God doesn't say that. God is on my side. God is for me, not against me. God guides me and directs me. He orders my steps. You see, I know who I am in Christ, and the enemy's not going to tell me anything different. Amen. You're the father of the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. John 8:44. He is a liar and the father of all lies. Be careful. Look, that's why it's so important that we're truthful with even our families. We're truthful with our relationships. Don't lie. Listen, in this morally relative society that we live in, people are coming to the belief system that it's okay to lie as long as you have the right reason to lie, as long as the outcome is good. Lying is from the devil. It's the enemy's tool. Do not fall for that trap. Tell the truth. And sometimes it's very painful to tell the truth. Amen? You've been in those situations. Sometimes you've done the right things. Sometimes you haven't. But I can tell you this, when you do not, you're motivated by the wrong spirit. I'm not condemning you. I'm just trying to give you some warning to know this tactic that the enemy has. He wants to entrap you. And one lie leads to another lie, and another lie, and the next lie, and a bigger lie, and more lies, until your whole life is a lie. Amen. I know of pastors who started living the lie, caught in adultery or some kind of theft or something. They would get up on Sunday mornings and preach their message and pretend that they were living a certain lifestyle, but the lie just kept growing. And they'd have to tell one lie to cover up the first lie. In their whole life, when it all comes down, it's all nothing but destruction because the enemy has motivated them to live a life that is ungodly and unrighteous. We serve a living God. There's healing and hope for anybody who falls prey to the enemy. I want you to know that this morning. I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm trying to tell you there's answers, but move away from the enemy and closer to God. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw near you. That's our promise. Resist the devil and flee from him. Okay? Praise God. You know, anybody can fall. Anybody makes mistakes. I was thinking about Peter the other day. Peter, he confessed Jesus as the Messiah. And almost the next breath, he starts telling you, Jesus says, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to have to die. And Peter said, that's not going to happen to you, Lord. And what does Jesus have to tell Peter? He calls him Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. Wow, that must have been a blow to Peter's ego. I don't know, Peter had a pretty big ego. But can you imagine? That happens to every person. We make mistakes. We fall. Thank God for the grace that is sufficient through Jesus Christ that we can get back on track. So don't let this message make you feel like I'm condemning anybody in here. I'm not condemning you. I'm encouraging you to move forward. If you're caught in any kind of situation that you know is wrong, repent, turn back to the living God, and He'll set you on the right course. That's the God we serve. But let me tell you something. According to many things that are happening in our world, particularly in the church, the church needs to do some repenting. According to George Gallup, he did a survey, and he found that there's very little difference between the ethical behavior, between moral and ethical behavior, both, between churchgoers and those who are not active in church, people who consider themselves non-religious. The level of lying, cheating, stealing, and all the things that we consider that would be ungodly are remarkably similar in both church and non-church people. That's sad. And then he followed it up with saying, asking these people. He said, 2 out of 10 people said, only 2 out of 10. Said they would be willing to suffer for their faith in Jesus Christ. All these people confessed that they were Christians, but only 2 said they'd be willing to suffer for their faith. Do you realize the Church of Jesus Christ was born in suffering? Jesus suffered. The disciples suffered. Persecution, the first century persecution was rampant. Thank God we live in the country that we live in. And we're not persecuted. But there's no guarantee, people, that that won't happen tomorrow. It can. We have to have the kind of relationship with our Lord that it doesn't matter what happens. We're going to stand. We're going to stand toe-to-toe with anyone who would say, deny Christ or die. And we're going to say, Jesus is Lord. I can't deny my Lord. I know we don't like to think about these things, but you need to think through it. I don't want it to happen. I'm believing that we're going to get things straightened out. We're going to have a revival, and Jesus Christ is going to change the direction of this nation. But it's going to take a revival. It's going to take people renewing their faith in Jesus Christ. In an article entitled Breakpoint, Dr. Dudley Woodberry, professor of Islamic studies, took 16 years to do a study on Christian or people coming to Jesus Christ out of the Muslim faith. Please stand with me. I'm going to wrap this up. This was a 16-year study of people in nations that are persecuted for their faith in Christ, but people who came to Christ. As he did this survey, and for those who were able to answer, he found out the most significant thing that caused these people to turn their life over to Christ was not necessarily the preaching of the gospel, but the attitude and the behavior of the believers in their community. They were looking at the people. Did they really believe what they said they believed? Do we really believe what we say we believe? This is something for us to examine. Continue to look. Continue to understand. Know what the enemy is trying to do. Steal, kill, destroy, lie, cheat. Steal from you and your family. But he doesn't have the last word. Jesus does. The blood of Jesus is the answer. Gives us all that we need. Bow your head with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, as we speak about these things and the motivation that's behind some actions sometimes, Lord, and we know that it's not flesh and blood. But we sometimes struggle with the flesh and blood that is being motivated by the enemy. We ask, Lord, that you just give us strength, give us the ability to look beyond people and to recognize that there is a supernatural entity, a force that is behind behavior. And sometimes it's even motivating and manipulating and controlling our behavior. Help us to see that. Help us to be strong and to be faithful, Lord God, to draw closer to you, to draw nigh to you, because your power is all that we need. We need the blood. We need to know that as you went about casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, that you have called your people to do the same thing. These signs shall follow us, Lord. You have promised us that. We'll cast out demonic forces. We'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. These forces of hell will not have any control over us. We will be victorious in Jesus' name. Lord, if anybody is struggling with anything this morning, we thank you. You're touching their heart, giving them the strength and the faith to overcome, because we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Lord, today we just give you complete reign of our life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Everybody's head bowed. I'm going to ask this one thing this morning. If you feel like you're struggling with something, just slip your hand up. I'm going to just pray for you right where you are. I'm going to ask you to come forward. You feel like there's a big struggle in your life, okay? Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that your word is true. And when we turn our struggles over to you, Jesus comes in and carries that burden. Those who have raised their hand, it took faith, Lord, and courage to raise their hands this morning. I thank you that you are touching their life right now. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority over principalities and powers, over any spiritual force that is trying to condemn them, trying to hold them back, trying to keep them from being everything that you've called them to be. In Jesus' name, we command you to take your hands from these people. Thank you for freedom, Father. Thank you for victory. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. They will rise up and they will absolutely be conquerors in your name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to ask our elders to come up. We'll pray for the sick. Prayer warriors, please come up. Anyone who would like to have special prayer, come up. These people are prepared to pray with you, speak into your life. Hallelujah. Have an awesome day. Praise God.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.